Yeah, the prophet is up somehow. Okay. That's good. Before I sing, I just want to say how wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How good it felt. I walked in the door and felt His presence immediately. I mean, if we left right now, it's been good in my soul. Already. Song I'm going to sing, pretty much par for the course for me. I don't think I've ever sung it before. But the thing that got me about this song, one of the things, it's an older song, but the first line just wore me out. How true it is. Well, I was lost, but You knew where to find me. I was hungry, You were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and You gave me living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. Sometimes I just want to praise You. Sometimes just to speak Your name. Sometimes I just want to thank You.
Thank You.
soul. He's coming back to take his children home. Oh, the story's old. The half has not been told. I want to go. They say there's mansions there. Far beyond compare. They talk of streets of gold. Where we'll never grow old. Where our loved ones wait. Just inside the gate. I want to go. I want to go where the storm clouds never rise. I want to go where the flowers never die. Don't you want to go where we'll never say goodbye? There'll be no loneliness, no more tears. Crystal river flows from the great white throne. Joyful praises ring. Children laugh and sing. Oh, it won't be long. We'll be going home. I want to go. I want to be there. I want to see the saints of old join the ransom throne. Oh, but most of all, there's one I love to see. His name is Jesus, and he gave his life for me. Sun won't need to shine. The Lamb of God's gonna be the light. King of kings he'll be for all eternity. We'll see him on his throne, hear his welcome home. I want to go. I want to be there when the final roll is called. I want to see the saints of old and join ransom throne. Oh, but most of all, there's what I long to see. His name is Jesus, and he gave his life for me. Sun won't need to shine. The Lamb of God's gonna be the light. We'll see him on his throne. You're his welcome home. Kings of kings will be for all eternity. I want to go. I want to go. Whenever I wonder, you did not leave me. Oh, you never, ever left by my side. I don't know why you love me, but I'm so glad you touched me. And I thank you for saving my life. You've been so faithful, so faithful. You've
Good this morning. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I'm enjoying it this morning. I love the praises of the Lord, to sing his praise. I like the congregation singing when you all sing. I'm glad BB gets to come in and sing. Appreciate him. Appreciate the Lord. The Lord is just faithful. That says it all. He's faithful. All right? All right. Everybody ready? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we've been preaching on reality, and we're going to continue that, preaching on reality, and reality just simply means just the truth now, what's really the truth, and right now, and people need to understand reality. We live in a make-believe world in a lot of ways. What we've made up of ourselves, we've got our own ideas of what God is. God loves me. He's mad at everybody else. You know, God lets me by, and he's going to judge everybody else. And He understands me when I do wrong. He lets me by. He understands me, but everybody else is guilty, boy. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we got our own vision, you know, our own God. And that's about the way we go, ain't it? You know, I'm allowed to do what I want to do, but y'all, the rest of y'all better stick by the book. Right? I mean, that's the way we live. You know, we have our own mindset, but we need to go back to reality again. Reality this morning. And there's a lot of ways that people say that they are to come to Christ, to come to God. They've had the videos of Oprah Winfrey saying that there's many paths to God. Joel Osteen says that you can believe about anything. You don't have to come a certain way. He said, who am I to say how someone needs to come to God? That's the world speaking. Everybody's religious. Everybody believes. Even atheists believe. Do you know that? We've told you many times, you got to believe in God to believe in atheist, or you can't be an atheist. Because atheist is against God. So you got to believe there's a God to even be an atheist. Think about that. It wouldn't even be in your conversation if you didn't believe. So everybody's religious. But everybody's not saved.
That's true.
Everybody ain't say. Everybody ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
They can, but they're not, because they won't go the way. I told y'all the other day. I spoke with a man at the hospice house. Went to visit him before he died, and there were some other people there visiting him. And when I talked with the other people that was there, they informed me very quickly that they had their own way. And I said, well, then you're going to hell. And he said, well, I believe. I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. Or you wouldn't be going your way. You'd be going God's way. You can't have it both ways. It's either God's way or your way. And he said, well, we have our own arrangement. I said, no, you don't. You're lost. You need Christ. And it didn't go very well after that. But anyway, he's still lost. But that's the attitude of people. And I'm not saying that I'm right in anything, but I will tell you this, Bible's right.
Amen.
I will tell you this, that God is right.
Amen.
And I will tell you this, it's the same rules for everybody.
Amen.
No matter what is a white man, black man, beggar man, thief. It don't matter who it is, it's the same. It's the same. So think about that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me pray and then we'll read. Father, I come. Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, I'm a wretch is what I am. Lord, I'm not going to mark anyone else's iniquity because I had mine too many to count. And Lord, I'm never what I ought to be. But Lord, I got a desire to be that. I ask you, Lord, to help me this morning. Lord, cleanse me from anything and everything that's hurtful, any unrighteousness, any unrighteous deeds, acts, thoughts. Lord, remove it from my mind, my heart. Lord, set me in a place just now that you could use me for your glory, for what you want done here today. Lord, I pray that you would preach me as you see fit. And I ask, oh God, the Holy Spirit would speak and draw our hearts. I pray, as I believe you will. And Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. Give me power. Lord, I have none of my own. I have to have your power. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do, for faithfulness, for seeing me lost, saving my soul. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yes. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Paul's writing to the church. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and he reminds the church that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. Now he's telling this to the church. He ain't saying this out on the street corner. He's telling this to the church house, that we might not lose sight of the cross of Christ, that we might not look on ourselves for salvation, but we make sure that we don't forget Christ, who is our salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's reality this morning. It's still true that the cross is necessary. The message of the cross is still necessary. That's the truth this morning. That's the main truth, the biggest truth. And you must believe the truth if you're going to spend eternity with God. You think about that. This morning, again, we're just going to preach on simply this reality. The message of the cross, reality, the message of the cross, the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. Now, people say, well, we know all this. We know that, and we don't need to hear it, but can I tell you, you might, and I'm glad you do here in the church, but there's so many that don't. When you speak to someone in this day and time in our own county, that do not know who Jesus is, they don't know about the cross.
Amen.
All right? When you listen to people speak on the TV and in speeches and documentary shows and talk shows, and the Jesus that they speak of is not the Jesus of the Bible, then they don't know about the cross.
Amen.
Because they're speaking of a different person. If you read anything about Islam and read the Quran, Islam says this is what they say in the Quran, that they reject the truth of a sin-bearing Savior. They reject the truth of a sin-bearing Savior. Think about that. They say that every man carries the fruit of his own deeds. They say it's foolish to think that a prophet of God should die a death like crucifixion. That's what Islam said. Islam is not Christianity. Islam is not about Christ. Islam is a works salvation. They're working to appease a God that's not a God. And their desire is to kill you if you say you're a Bible believer. That's what they teach. That's what they preach. That's what's in their own Quran. It is not a love religion. It is a hate religion. And you, if you're a Bible believer, are their enemy. And so is Christ. Hinduism. There are a lot of Hindus. All right, India is full of Hindus, but they're in America as well. Hindus accept the cross historically. They'll tell you that yes, there was a cross on Calvary's mountain, but they will not accept the crucifixion as a way of salvation. They reject the very significance of the work of the cross and plainly tell you that. They also believe that they're going to be reincarnated. That they're going to come back. That after they die, they'll come back and it might be an animal. That's why they'll let their children starve to death and lead a cow over town. Let their children starve to death.
Yes. That's right.
Think about that.
That's true.
But they reject the cross. They reject Christ. That's what they do. But it goes even further than that. Most religions today is humanism. Most people that say they are Christian are humanists. Because their salvation is wrapped up in them, they reject the truth that they have to have a Savior, that they can be good enough. They'll say, yeah, I believe that Jesus died. Yeah, I believe on the cross, but I know I need to be good. And their self-reliance trumps the cross.
Yes.
It goes above the cross that people think if they're good enough that they'll be in eternity with God. Think about that. So any church, regardless of what's above the door, that believe that you can work your way to heaven, work your way to be saved, or work your way to stay saved, is not of God. Not of the Bible. And that's reality. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the worldview of the cross. The humanists don't know, they don't believe that it's necessary. Catholicism. Catholicism is considered by the world as Christian. Yet Catholics will tell you they're not Christian, they're Catholic. But yet the world says, no, they're Christian. They say, no, we're not, we're Catholic. No, you're not, you're Christian. No, we're not, we're Catholic. All right, think about this. To the point that they have a man as a leader called a pope who they view as God when he speaks. And if he speaks in ex cathedra, they call it, then that, whatever he spoke, is equal to God speaking and writing it in the Bible.
Yes.
That is equal. And the Pope said that the cross of Jesus Christ was his biggest failure.
What he said.
The biggest failure of Jesus Christ was the cross of Calvary. That's what they said. That ain't what I'm saying. That's what they said. I'm just repeating what they said. This is the view of the cross today. That's the reality. That's reality. Evangelicals. The evangelicals today say that there was a time that the cross was necessary, but today it's not as necessary. You need to listen when people speak. Right? A professor of Oxford University, as well as Yale and Princeton, were made or started to train preachers for the ministry when they first come into existence. They were made then for lawyers and judges to get education that they might learn from the Bible and how to rule or judge.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible way. That's why they were made.
Yes.
Do we understand that? The judges, when Oxford and Princeton and Yale were started, the lawyers and judges that went there was to learn from the Bible how to be a judge.
Yes.
And a lawyer. Think about that. And a professor at Oxford says this now. It was a Christian-based school. Yale, Princeton, and Oxford. All Christian foundation schools. And the professor from Oxford says this, Christianity is the world's worst religion because it rests on the doctrine of original sin and vicarious atonement.
Wow.
That's what one of the professors at Oxford says. That Christianity is the worst religion because it stands on the doctrine of original sin, that men are sinners, and that the vicarious death of Christ, the suffering on the cross, that was foolishness to them. Think about that. That the vicarious atonement was not true. There's your view of the cross today. This is the view of our Christian nation that we have today. That we live in a Christian country. We live in what used to be a Christian country. We live in what used to be a Christian nation. But now we live in a religious nation. A religious nation is going to hell because of religion. And people sitting in the church house, religious and lost. Because they do their own thing. They go their own way. They say in their mind that they believe on Christ, but their heart is far from Him. They say in their mind that they have been saved, but yet their life does not show, have any evidence of a Christian, of a biblical Christian. If I see an animal that has webbed feet and a bill, likes water, quacks, quack, quack, then I can say that looks like a duck, that acts like a duck, that sounds like a duck, I bet it's a duck.
Right. Oh yeah, you're probably right.
Wouldn't that be a good description? Right. Feathers, 2 feet, 2 front feet.
Yeah, I'd be with you.
Ain't got no hind feet, just 2 front feet.
Yeah.
Got 2 wings, got a bill.
Yeah.
Quacks, likes water.
Yeah.
Make good pets, follow you around.
Yeah.
Loves treats. Anybody know what that animal is? Talk to me.
Yeah,
it's a duck. But then there's people that say they're a Christian. That don't go to church. That their mouth is vulgar and filthy. That they cheat, steal, drink, cuss, whoremongers and harlots. That they lie and gamble, blaspheme. Well, that don't sound like a Christian. That sounds like a sinner. What would it sound like to y'all? But yeah, that's not how the world views it. Because the world only says, say what you are, and that's enough.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Amen.
That's the reality. But when we come to the cross and the reality of the message of the cross, it becomes very simple. It becomes cut and dried. It becomes in or out. It becomes yes or no. It becomes up or down. Heaven or hell, become saved or lost, and it becomes very simple. And I want you to listen now to the reality of the cross, the message of the cross in reality. Listen carefully. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and this will be our text verse this morning. We're thinking about reality. That Jesus is just an example is not enough. That's what the world wants. You know, that the cross is not necessary. The evangelicals say the cross is not as necessary as it was, but that the Sermon on the Mount is the main message, that Christ is our example and we ought to do what He does. That's what they say. But the reality this morning, the message of the cross, John chapter 12, let's look at verse 30, 32 and 33. This is Jesus speaking. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. We just read the verse in Corinthians where, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It is foolishness. But unto us that are saved is the power of God. It's the preaching of the cross, for we preach Christ crucified.
Right.
The Apostle Paul said, for I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message of the cross is that Christ died, was buried, risen again, and coming again. That's the message. That's the gospel. The reality today is there's not but one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the way of the cross. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And he said that speaking of the death that he would die, speaking of the cross,
right.
The message of the cross. Well, let's look at the cross just for a moment and just see everything is wrapped up at the cross of Calvary. Everything. Every sinner and every sin is wrapped up at the cross. Every believer starts at the cross.
Yeah.
Think about that. Every person will be drawn to the cross. Man, woman, boy and girl, yellow, black, white, green, don't matter who they are. If they find life on Mars and they get a man out of it, he's going to have to come by the cross.
Amen.
If they find a tadpole in a mud hole that'll grow legs and arms, he's going to have to come by the cross.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to the cross.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, Jesus speaking, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And there you're going to make a decision about your salvation when you come to the cross.
Amen.
It's not going to be to a place of your works. It's not going to be to a church of your choice. It's not going to be what grandpas and grandmas and school teachers has taught. You're going to have to come to the cross. And when you come to the cross, you'll make a decision whether or not you accept Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. The devil had nothing to do with the cross.
That's right.
Had nothing to do with the cross. The devil had nothing to do with the whipping that he got. The devil had nothing to do with the scourging. The devil had nothing to do with the crown of thorns. The devil had nothing to do with the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. The devil had nothing to do with the preparation of the cross. He had nothing to do with any of it. For God planned the cross, and God made a way that man would come to Him and there make a decision for all mankind for time and eternity to whether you would have eternal life or eternal damnation, all at the cross.
Yes, sir.
All at the cross.
Yeah.
Not the church, but the cross. You're going to have to come to the cross. You say, well, I don't want to come. You're going to be drawn anyway. He's going to draw you to the cross. He's going to draw you to where you have to look into the face of God who died for you. And either accept it or reject it. That's the message of the cross. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. When they preached about the cross, after Christ died and was buried and rose again and ascended, and Peter's there preaching in Jerusalem as he preached on the day of Pentecost, and they was all listening, and he told them about the one whom they crucified, that they crucified the Son of Glory. And after he'd given the message of the cross and told them how wicked they was, how worthless they was, and what they had done, that Christ had died there, and they cried out to him, what must we do? He said, repent be baptized, every one of you.
Yeah.
What he said? Repent and show that you're stepping out for Christ. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's the message of the cross. See, the message is not, now listen carefully, the message is not Christmas.
Amen.
For had Christ only been born by a virgin there in Bethlehem, that was wonderful. If God had become flesh, that was wonderful. But had he not died, we would have never had an atonement.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It is important that he was born of a virgin. It is important that he's God in the flesh. But there was no one else that could save my soul. There was no one else perfect enough to carry my sin. There was no other way but that God had to put on a robe of flesh and come down and die in my place that I might live and have life more abundantly this morning. It's because of the cross. Because of the cross this morning. You hear me today? It has to be. And he brings us to the cross. And when we come to the cross, what we see is man's rebellion. We see all of the consummation of man's rebellion at the cross. For man is constantly rebelling against God. He rebelled against God's one command in the garden. God gave him one rule. He couldn't keep it. God said, don't eat of this tree, and they eat of it.
Right.
He said, you eat it, you're going to die. He ate it, and he died. God's word's true.
Yeah.
Man's been rebelling ever since.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve had two kids, Cain and Abel. Abel went with God, Cain rebelled. The Bible tells me that Cain went his own way.
That's right. What it says.
Went his own way. That's what people say. I'm going my way. Well, you're going in the way of Cain.
Yeah.
To hell you'll go.
Yeah.
It ain't your way. You go your way if you want to. It's going to get awful hot.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? Going to get awful hot. You go your way. Think about it. You go your way. Well, how's your way going for you right now? Let me just ask you, this is how you getting along in your way now? Huh? You're miserable? No peace? No joy? Huh? You got the same problems everybody else does? You're sick? You're in debt? You got the same problems everybody else does? How's your way going? Then when you die, you're going to go to hell. This is how your way working for you right now? Huh? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but then there are other ways of death, the Bible said. Huh? When I look at the cross, I see man's rebellion. God had to come down to die for his creation because they rebelled against him.
Right.
And then I see not only man's rebellion, but I see the wickedness or how bad man can be. You realize just how bad it is. That when he went to the cross and carried our sins, think about what he carried. He carried every lie that had ever been told and ever would be told. He carried every adulterer before Calvary and after Calvary. Every adulteress from before Calvary to after Calvary. He carried every murder. Every murder. He carried the sin of every baby killed, adult killed. He carried the sin of every raped lady or baby or man. He carried every gambling scene. Every time that someone throwed the dice or bet with a card or a pull board or a drop knife or anything else. That was tough there. Lottery and pennies pitched. And you say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just telling you what he carried to the cross.
That's right.
Every dirty word.
Yes.
every dirty thought, every dirty deed. Huh? Every sin against mankind.
Yes, sir.
Every sin of man against man and woman against woman. Every sin of man and woman against the beast. Of bestiality. Every sexual abuse of a child. Every unkind word to a spouse or to a husband or to a child. Every, can you think of any other sin? The sin of laziness. Slothfulness. He carried that to the cross. Huh? Disobedient to parents. He carried that to the cross. They're not a sin you can think of. Huh? And think of all of them this morning. And every one of them is because of the wickedness of man. All of it started with rebellion against God in the garden. Everything else was devised of man's wicked imaginations and own way. There's the own way. There's man's own way right there. Huh? Of all the things we just talked about. Everything dishonest. Think about that. Every hypocrite. Every deceiver. Huh? Think about that. He carried all of that to the cross. That's the rebellion. That's the wickedness of man. But it wasn't all those people. It's us. It's our sins that he carried. It's our duties, our little works, our little things that we've done. What have you done? Huh? How much liquor have you consumed? How many men or women have you been with? How much blasphemy has come out of your mouth? How many lies has come out of your mouth? How much dope has been put into your body? Just what all has happened? How much gambling have you done? You say, where is this? Listen, the recreation is shown even at the cross when they gambled over the clothes of Christ and never give the cross a thought as they wanted to fulfill their own desires, gambling over his clothes. They not a sin you can even mention that Christ never went to the cross for. And these are our sins. Where have you been? What have you done? How have you acted? What have you said? Huh? Huh? How many lies have you told? What have you done? Huh? How much blasphemy has come out of your mouth? How many times have you cursed God? Cursed man? Cursed his creation? Huh? That's us. That's us. I don't want to go my way.
No, sir.
When I look at my way, I don't want to go my way. But when I look at the cross, I see that's what he carried at the cross this morning. The wickedness of man. The rebellion of man. The evilness of man. The thoughtlessness that man has given to Christ. The thoughtlessness. We don't think about Christ. You know, the Bible says, speaking of the wicked, that there are not any thoughts. That God is not in the wicked man's thoughts. Huh? Think about that. People don't sit around thinking about Jesus. Christians don't even sit around thinking about Jesus very often. Huh? But yet the Bible says that he's not in her thoughts every day. I'm just wondering when it says the wicked, that God's not in her thoughts every day, I wonder where it lays some of us when he's not in our thoughts every day. But see, we don't hear that this is all gloom and doom, but this is reality.
That's right.
This is where we're at today. Huh? The cross has made none effect because of we want to trust ourselves. That's the cross shows me the wickedness of man. We still okay? But yet the cross draws every man. Says that if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. And every one of us gets drawn to the cross. Every sinner gets drawn to the cross. Even in the Old Testament, before the cross, everything they done pushed to the cross. Looked toward the cross. when they left Egypt and they stuck the rod through the lamb and they turned it on the spit, signified the Christ being put on the cross over the fiery judgment and told the ones that believed to feed upon the crucified lamb. The blood on the doorpost was the blood of Christ. And he said, go all the way back. Yep. When Adam and Eve first rebelled in the garden, and God went in the garden and killed an animal and skinned it and gave them coats of skin, the blood was shed and God was shown on the cross. Go back to before the world was ever made. And God says the lamb that was slain before the foundation. And I'll tell you that yep. God had planned on you coming to him and making a choice to serve him, to love him, to be saved. And God said, I will draw you to a place, one place, every man to one place, the same place.
Yep.
And there'll be equal opportunity for every man, woman, boy, and girl.
Amen.
And I'll draw you there regardless of how good or bad you are. But you being a sinner, I will draw you there and you're going to look at me. And you'll say yes or no.
That's right.
That's simple reality.
Yeah.
That's simple reality this morning. Huh? But then I look at the cross, not only shows me the wickedness, but it shows me the love of God.
Absolutely.
The cross shows me the wickedness of man, but the cross shows me the love of God, because that God would be willing to do what I just said. Carrying my Bible, a little marker that I've carried since I first started pastoring. It was given to me. We had some little thing at the church up at Mountain Baptist. And Jason Smith's sister gave me a little marker. I carry my Bible, all the writings, off of it is just a red marker now. And on that marker said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me. And he opened his arms that wide and showed me as he died on Calvary. That's what it said. I've carried in my Bible all these years. 40 years I've carried, almost 38 years, whatever it's been. Huh? To remind me that Christ died for me. He showed me his love. We speak of the wickedness and our mind don't look at ourselves. When we speak of the wickedness of the cross, we look at the wickedness out there. We look at the wickedness of the world and the shape the world's in. But we forget that that's us. And that a loving God died for you. He died for your sins and my sins. He hung there for your sins. He hung there for your unfaithfulness and your dirtiness and all the wickedness of your life. He died for you. That's love. That's love. How many of us have said we've looked in the mirror and we don't even like ourselves? We don't like ourselves. We don't like nobody. Huh? But yet God loves us. And he said, I'll draw you. I'll draw you. And you know that after you trust Christ at the cross, you know that he draws you every day?
Yes.
We sing the songs. What's the song say? We love him. We say we love him. Jesus, keep me. There a precious fountain. Huh? We're not singing. Is that how we sing it? Huh? Why do we want to be there? Draw me near, near. We're talking about the cross. On a hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross. This shame and reproach, gladly bear. Huh? Paul said, if I'm going to glory in anything, let me glory in the cross.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You can't get away from it.
Yes,
you can't, you'll not get away from it if you're lost, and you'll not get away from it after you're saved.
Amen.
That's the message of the cross. Don't just read it and go on. The message of the cross stands forever, and it'll draw every man to the cross this morning. And you reject or you accept. Huh?
Yes.
See, I have in my mind, and we've seen the pictures, but I have in my mind the scripture where Christ comes there in the garden to pray, and the weight of the world laid upon his shoulders as he knelt down in the garden and prayed, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And he gets up and sees his disciples sleeping, and he says, "Arise, for the time has come. Here they come and arrest him." And they ask him, "Are you he?" And when he looks at him and speaks, they fall to the ground, showing that his power, that he's God. They arrest him. They arrest Jesus. They got him and tied him and drug him off to a mock court in the night. There they spit on him. There they took her hands and pulled the hair out of his face. There they took the thorns and beat him down on his head. And he never said nothing. There they took the rod and smacked him. There they smote him with their hand. He never said a word. There they interrogated him. And the only thing that he would say was, "You have no control over this. Could I not ask and the Lord send a legion of angels and rescue me? For this I was born. For this is why I come. For this is why I come. You're not doing this to me. This is why I come. Because of you." Are you listening to me? They took him. They laid him over a post. And they beat him till his intestines hung out from his ribs. And his kidneys exposed. And his insides exposed. That no one should have lived. And he never said a word. Because he knew there was going to be so many that was going to need healing. And the Bible says, "By his stripes we are healed." And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Your sin. Your filthiness. Your rebellion. He laid on Christ. And then they took him and put a cross on his back. There they started up the road to Calvary. There they compelled a Simon Cyrenian to help him along the way. They got up there to Calvary's mountain. He laid his hands down and they drove the nails in his hands. And he never said a word. They drove the nails in his feet and he never said a word. They stripped him of his clothes and hung him up and dropped a post in a post hole. And there the weight would fall upon his hands and feet and he would try to breathe and up and down, prying on the nails and the blood that would run down and the scourging that exposed his body. All of that because of my sin and your sin. And he showed me, "I love you this much." That's the message of the cross. That's still the reality today. That he would move and move and say, "Father, forgive them." He would move and move. "Father, forgive them." He's talking about you. He's talking about me.
Yes.
That's the message of the cross. That's the reality of the cross. It's still real. It happened and it's still real today.
Yes,
huh? He looks ahead, up ahead, up high and says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit."
Yeah.
"It's finished!" He died. The soldier comes through. Takes the spear and runs up under his rib right here. And there the blood and water flow out. But if anybody knows anything, blood and water don't mix. That blood is carried inside the heart chamber and that pericardium sac goes around is filled with the fluid. And the only time that mixes is when the heart is burst open. And when they pierced his side and now flowed blood and water, it was blood and water mixed because his heart was opened up a fountain for every man's sin. As it flowed down Calvary, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. That's the message of the cross this morning. That's the message of the cross. They laid him down. And John and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Mary, and they come and wrapped him in the linens and put him in Joseph's tomb. And 1 day passed, and 2 days passed, 3 days passed. And on the morning, very early in the morning, on that first Sunday morning of Resurrection Day, that same Jesus walked out of that tomb who had died in our place, bringing victory for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would come to him in faith believing and say, I'll take you. And when he was in the upper room, John or Thomas said, I won't believe he's alive unless I can put my hands in the prints in his hands and put my fingers in his hands and his feet in his side. And here he comes in the room and said, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my side. But Thomas said, oh my Lord and my God. Hey, it's the prints are still there today. They're not scarred over. You'll not find that word in the Bible that his hands are scarred over, that there's a scar on his side, but you'll find that the prints of the nails are still in his hands, and the prints of the nails are still in his feet, and the prints of the sword that went through his side is still there, because the message of the cross is still true today, and we'll go through time and eternity singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, and we'll praise the blood of Christ. We'll praise what He done for me and you, and somewhere you're going to have to make a decision for Him or against Him. It ain't going to be your way. You're going to have to kneel down and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a filthy sinner. Save me. He'll save you. But you're going to have to stop your way. You're going to have to swallow the old stinking pride, and you're going to have to get sick of the old filthiness and come to Jesus. That's the message of the cross. For when Peter preached, what I tell you a while ago, when he preached about the crucified Christ, they said, what do we do? What do we do then? Where their hope? Repent. 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 Turn. Turn from the way you're living. Turn from the life you're living now. Turn to Christ, for there's no hope unless you turn to Christ. You're not good enough. You don't want to be good enough. You can't be good enough. Reformation don't help you. You're not going to reform. I'll quit this. No, you won't. No, you won't. You drink a little bit. Say, I'm going to quit. When you start back, you drink more. You say, I'm going to quit cussing. You quit cussing, start back, and you cuss more. Everything's more and more and more because you can't quit it. Oh, but you could come to Christ and He stopped it. He stops it. What do you say when somebody asks you, why are you going to heaven? What do you say? If you answer in the first person that I believed or I trusted, then you've answered wrong. If you're asked why do you get to go to heaven, your correct answer has to be in the third person. Because He. Because He. Not because I. But because He, died on the cross for my sins, because He draws me to come, because He speaks to my heart and wants me to come, because He is the only one that can wash me clean and white as snow. It ain't because of me. I do nothing. Are you hearing me this morning? That's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is not a little scratch on his face, a little blood on his cheeks, and a little print in his hand. No. The message of the cross is not a picture of a wound. The message of the cross is a picture of God dying for you. It's more than you can visualize. But now you're drawn there. I have preached to you the gospel, and on the authority of the word of God, I believe he's drawn you now to the cross.
Amen.
And if I be lifted up, will draw him in. I can't lift him up on the cross, but I can lift him up in the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
For please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe, for we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
That's what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I come not with excellence of speech, wisdom of words, but Christ crucified. Huh? Paul said, if I glory, let me glory in the cross for what he did. Let me ask you this morning. You're at the cross. You're not at a crossroads. You're at the cross. What are you going to do? What do you do just now? Cheryl, you go to piano. What do you do just now? Just as I am, without one plea. Brother Clark. You're at the cross. What are you going to do? He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now what are you going to do? You're there. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. All right. What are you going to do? Paul said, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What are you going to do? Are you crucified with him, man? You're at the cross. You're going to live for him today. You're going to glory in the cross. Are you going to glory in the cross today? Say I'm saved. I've done accepting that. Are you glorying in the cross? Are you glorying in the cross? I bet you gloried better than this yesterday, right before that rain stopped the ball game. I bet you was glorying when Penn State scored the first six. I bet there was some excitement in your soul. I bet you was glorying when they got the game going again. I didn't hear you glorying in the cross. I didn't see nobody stand on their feet and praise the cross very much this morning. We sung about the cross, sung about the blood. I'm just asking. I ain't telling, I'm just asking questions. What are you going to do? You're at the cross. What are you going to do? You're going to glory in the cross? You're going to glory in the Savior? You're going to glory with him in your life? Or are you going to truly accept him? Are you truly going to believe on him? He spoke to you over and over and over. But are you truly going to accept him? Let him change your life, your family, your children. That's the message of the cross. That you're a sinner. And you've got to have a Savior. And Jesus is the only way, and you're going to have to trust him. That's the message of the cross. That's reality. What will you do this morning? Father, I pray that you'll speak to our heart in a special way. Draw us, Lord. You promised, and you've drawn us right up to the cross. Lord, I see my wickedness and I see your greatness. Lord, my my repentance would be nothing if it wasn't for your forgiveness. But oh, I repent and you forgive. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And oh God, I pray that my steps will be straight from the cross. That I'll walk today as you want me to walk. And come tomorrow, I want a desire to walk with you tomorrow. Oh God, the lost is among us this morning. And you draw them, let them see they need you as their Savior this morning. Oh God, I pray that you will move upon us today of the Holy Spirit. Move us to a place of repentance. Oh God, please, please, there's people perishing. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that you draw all men. Lord, I choose you. I choose you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.